ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 1. It's a very auspicious day of Govardhan plus starting a new canto. Jai. Text 1 goes as follows. Sri Parikshino Vacha.
Sri Parikshino Vacha.
निवृत्तिमार्गकथिता आदौ भगवता यथा क्रमयोगोपलब्धेन रमणायद् असंस्मृतिः। श्रीपरीक्षितो उवाच
निवृत्तिमार्गकथिता
ಅದೌ ಭಾಗವತ ಅದೌ ಭಗವತಾ ಯಥಾ ಕ್ರಮಯೋಗೋಪಲಬ್ಧೇನ ರಮಣಾಯ ಅಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತೋ ವಾಚ ನಿವೃತ್ತಿ ಮಾರ್ಗ ಕಥಿತ ಆದೌ ಭಗವತಾ ಯಥಾ ಕ್ರಮಯೋಗೋಪಲಬ್ಧೇನ ರಮಣಾಯ ಅಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ
ಶ್ರೀ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ ವಾಚ
ಶ್ರೀ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತೋ ವಾಚ ನಿವೃತ್ತಿ ಮಾರ್ಗ ಕಥಿತ ಅದೌ ಭಗವತಾ ಯಥಾ ರಮಣಾಯ ಅಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ ಉವಾಚ ನಿವೃತ್ತಿ ಮಾರ್ಗ ಕಥಿತ ಆದೌ ಭಗವತಾ ಯಥಾ ರಮಣಾಯ ಅಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ
ಶ್ರೀ
ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತೋ ವಾಚ ನಿವೃತ್ತಿ ಮಾರ್ಗ ಕಥಿತ ಆದೌ ಭಗವತಾ ಯಥಾ ಕ್ರಮಯೋಗೋಪಲಬ್ಧೇನ ರಮಣಾಯ ಅಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಮಾತಾಜಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ ಉವಾಚ ನಿವೃತ್ತಿ ಮಾರ್ಗ ಕಥಿತ ಆದೌ ಭಗವತಾ ಯಥಾ ರಮಯೋಗೋಪಲಬ್ಧೇನ ಭ್ರಮಣಾಯ ಅಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ ಉವಾಚ ನಿವೃತ್ತಿ ಮಾರ್ಗ ಕಥಿತ ಆದೌ ಭಗವತಾ ಯಥಾ ಕ್ರಮಯೋಗೋಪಲಬ್ಧೇನ ಭ್ರಮಣಾಯ ಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತೋ ವಾಚ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಸೈಡ್ ನಿವೃತ್ತಿ ಮಾರ್ಗ The path of liberation. Kathitaha, described. Adau, in the beginning. Bhagavata, by your holiness. Yatha, duly. Krama, gradually. Yoga upalabdhena, obtained by the yoga process. Brahmana, sorry, Brahmana, along with Lord Brahma, after reaching Brahmalok, yet, by which way? Asamsriti, cessation of the repetition of birth and death. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit said, O my Lord, O Sukadeva Goswami, you have already described in the second canto the path of liberation, Nivritti Marga. By following that path, one is certainly elevated gradually to the highest planetary system, Brahmalok, from which one is prompted to the spiritual world along with Lord Brahma. Thus, one's repetition of birth and death in the material world ceases. Purport Bachala Prabhupad ki Jai. Since Maharaj Parikshit was a Vaishnava, when he heard the description at the end of the fifth canto, of the different hellish conditions of life, he was very much concerned with how to liberate the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya and then take them back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he reminded his spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami about the Nivritti Marg or the path of liberation, which he had described in the second canto. Maharaj Parikshit, who at the time of death was fortunate to have met Sukadeva Goswami, inquired from Sukadeva Goswami about the path of liberation at that crucial time. Sukadeva Goswami very much appreciated his question and congratulated him by saying, Varyaneshate Prashna Kruto Loka Hitam Nipa Atmavit Sammatah Pumsam Shrotavyadishu Yaparaha. My dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial for all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing and it is approved by all transcendentalists. Bhagavatam 2.1.1. Parikshit Maharaj was astonished that the living entities in the conditioned stage do not accept the path of liberation or devotional service instead of suffering in so many hellish conditions. This is the symptom of a Vaishnav. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha. A Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. Paradukha dukhi. He is unhappy because of the unhappiness of others. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, being compassionate towards the conditioned souls suffering in hellish life, suggested that Sukadeva Goswami continue describing the path of liberation which he had explained in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. The word asamsriti is very important in this connection. Samsriti refers to continuing on the path of birth and death. Asamsriti, on the contrary, refers to Nivritti Marg or the path of liberation by which one's birth and death cease and one gradually progresses to Brahmalok. Unless one is a pure devotee who does not care about going to the higher planetary systems, in which case one immediately returns home back to Godhead by executing devotional service. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti. Parikshit Maharaj therefore was very eager to hear from Sukadeva Goswami about the path of liberation for the conditioned soul. According to the opinion of the Acharyas, the word Krama Yoga Palabdhena indicates that by first performing Karma Yoga and then Jnana Yoga and finally coming to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one can be liberated. Bhakti Yoga, however, is so powerful that it does not depend on Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Bhakti Yoga itself is so powerful that even an impious man with no assets in Karma Yoga or an illiterate with no assets in Jnana Yoga can undoubtedly be elevated to the spiritual world if he simply adheres to Bhakti Yoga. Mam evaishyasi asamshayah, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 8.7 that by the process of Bhakti Yoga, one undoubtedly goes back to Godhead, back home to the spiritual world. Yogis, however, instead of going directly to the spiritual world, sometimes want to see other planetary systems and therefore they ascend to the planetary system where Lord Brahma lives, as indicated here by the word Brahmana. At the time of dissolution, Lord Brahma, along with all the inhabitants of Brahmalok, goes directly to the spiritual world. This is confirmed in the Vedas as follows. Brahmana sahate sarve samprapte pratisanchare parasyante kritatmanah pravishanti parampadam. Because of their exalted position, those who are on Brahmalok at the time of dissolution go directly back home, back to Godhead, along with Lord Brahma. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatripatam Mahamande Sri Guru Dinakatarinam Vanchakal Pataru Bhyascha Kripasindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, there are a lot of things today and there is already we have started Bhagavatam class late. We have to go like an express train today. Today we are beginning, so there are so many things. Today is Govardhan, then we have disappearance day of one Acharya, then appearance day of another Acharya, okay. And then we have Prashadam. We will try to do justice to everything. And then we have the basic words. We'll see. So, we are beginning a new chapter, a new canto, canto 6.1. Which is called as prescribed duties for mankind. Prescribed duties for mankind. Now, Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj have already had a conversation towards the end of the first canto, leading up to certain answers at the beginning of the second canto, where Parikshit Maharaj has asked Sukadeva Goswami a question: what is the duty of a prime duty of a man about to die? Now, Sukadeva Goswami, in a series of verses, around 10-14 verses, comes immediately to the conclusion and tells him, Eta nirvitya manana ichchata makuto bhayam yoginam nripanarnitam harer nama anukirtanam. So he comes to the point. He says that the prime duty of anyone is to do anukirtanam. Not just kirtanam. Kirtanam in the way in which it was done by the previous acharyas. So he has already told that in second canto. Then why is he asking that question now? Here, right? Because again, this chapter is about prescribed duty. Already the duty has been told before. So why is he asking now again? Because the Bhagavatam is not so simple. Parikshit Maharaj was very simple. He understood it. But all this is because of his karuna or compassion. Because he has just heard the description of the hellish planets. And he is wondering, if everyone knows that Anukirtanam has to be done, then why do people perform so much vikarma and why such fearful or fearsome suffering in the heavenly planets, such gross suffering in the hellish planets, heavenly planets also, everywhere there is suffering, but yeah, hellish planets, why there is so much suffering? So out of his compassion, he is reiterating, he is now coming back to the same point which Sukadeva Goswami had told him, Harayar Nama Anukirtanam, because this canto opens out the very famous pastime of Ajamila, which glorifies the power of the holy name of the Lord, even if imperfectly chanted, not to speak of if perfectly chanted. So the whole canto is opening up with a very big bang on the holy name. So it's very, very beautiful canto. There are so many excellent pastimes in this. So I am personally very excited about this canto. This is one of my favorite cantos when we studied the Bhakti Vaibhav. So though Srimad Bhagavatam gives instructions to surrender, common man in Kali Yuga is very complicated. We will not surrender. Pashya napi na pashyati. Though being reminded again and again, people do not surrender, and also people need lot of context to surrender. For example, it's not as simple. You start a home program, people will come and you tell them, okay, the problems of life can be solved by chanting Hare Krishna. The goal of life is Krishna Prem. Oh, thank you very much. Okay. Hare Krishna. It doesn't work like that, right? So we have to go through a whole lot of drama. Initially, when I said drama, probably like play football on the beach with them. And then so many activities we have to do, socialize with these people, go play kabaddi, go on their camp, talk footy or whatever. Sometimes we have to do that, right? To connect with someone. And then gradually give them prasadam, get them for Harinam, give them Prabhupada's books, encourage them to come. And then after they come also, cultivate them, be in tune with their problems in life, help them even in their material life sometimes, and then people come. And then when they come to the programs also, it is not as simple as that. People have a lot of questions. Who am I? What is I? Where is the end of the universe? So many metaphysical aspects have to be clarified before someone comes to the point of who is God? How do I know He exists? Why is Krishna God? And if they are Indians, then they will ask so many questions. Why not Shiva? Why not Sai Baba? So many things we have to clarify before they finally come to the point of Hare Nama Anukirtanam. So it's a long process. So Srimad Bhagavatam also understands this. So if we see, though this was already told in the second canto, Hare Nama Anukirtanam is the process, the Srimad Bhagavatam continued to discuss from there on the topic of Sarga, Visarga, right? Then the Sankhya Yoga in third canto, then the genealogy of mankind, starting from Swayambhu Manu, all those things it described in the fourth canto towards the beginning. Then the fifth canto was all about Vedic cosmology. So for all those people who need so much of context before they surrender to the Supreme Lord, because this is Kali Yuga. And as if the Srimad Bhagavatam is coming to the central point yet again, now the Srimad Bhagavatam is extolling again the glories of the holy name, which it continues to do again and again, and establishes the efficacy or the effectiveness of the holy name. And probably this pastime of Ajamila does it more than any other pastime. Because the moment someone talks about, how can we tell me any pastime about how the holy name is powerful? The first pastime that comes is what? Ajamil pastime in our mind. So that is the beauty of this canto. So, for the first three chapters in this canto, it talks about the power of the holy name. And then therefore it again reiterates the prescribed duty for mankind, and that Harinam Sankirtan is the highest. There is nothing higher than that. And all other pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam are meant to bring one to this point of Harir Nama Anukirtanam. Also, while this canto, the first three chapters may seem in one sense to... In one sense, sometimes when one reads this, one may think there is an exaggeration. How can one just say Narayana to his son and then get delivered? The Srimad Bhagavatam is telling this so that even if you chant like that, you can be liberated. Then what about if you chant attentively? But at the same time, the Srimad Bhagavatam also encourages us to chant with intention and with love. Ajamil did not chant with intention to please the Lord. But Srimad Bhagavatam continues from there on and encourages us through other pastimes till the best canto, the 10th canto opens up, so that we fall in love with the Lord and then we chant our rounds with feeling for the Lord. So, that is why no wonder that Srimad Bhagavatam is called as the best out of amongst all the Puranas, because it comes directly to the point and it does not leave that point throughout the 12 cantos. From various angles it comes and inspires us. Now, today's specific verse and purport, which is the first verse of this, has got a theme. In fact, this verse as well as the next verse. Okay, I have not read the third verse, but I just went through the first two verses. The theme seems to be, this is my understanding and be corrected. The theme seems to be one of desire, activity and outcome. So, desire is the function of consciousness. Yato manas tato bhava. Wherever your mind is, there your mood will go, right? So, in desire is a function of consciousness, and consciousness is also a function of desire. In one sense, it's a cyclic loop, if you think about it. Now, for example, if one distinguishes human beings, the consciousness of human beings from animals, one may conclude that the animals, oh my God, poor creatures, they don't have the discriminatory power or the power of inquiry into the higher truths because they have covered consciousness. This is one logic someone can put, right? Someone else can say, why was their consciousness covered? So, is their consciousness covered because of their karma, right? Or because they are covered by consciousness, they cannot inquire into the supreme truth. So, it's a cyclic loop. So, it is because of their previous desires and activities thereof, that therefore their consciousness is now covered, and because their consciousness is now covered, they can't inquire. So therefore, human beings are caught in this trap of desire, activity and outcome. Now, the last canto, on canto 5 specifically, it was meant to scare everyone, the Vikarmis. All Garuda Purana, what is that? Kumbhi Paka, ocean of blood, pus, stool and hair. So, if anyone is told like that, obviously somebody will be careful. No, I probably may not take that risk. No, and they may probably come to think about Krishna consciousness. So, the canto 5 punishes them for their activity, but also enables them to fulfill their inclinations. If we go back to where the canto ended, it says after they get punished, they again get a birth wherein they can fulfill. For example, someone who is eating low class things, items, will obviously, and if they gratify their tongue based on the misery of another animal, then they have to go and suffer in these hellish planets. But when the suffering is over, they again come back. And then they have to take that body, because Krishna says, okay, now you anyway desire, now you enjoy it without karma now. Because in animal life, you don't get karma, but you still can enjoy that. So this is based on one's propensity, one is punished and then one is allowed to be in that state. And then evolve again to the human form of life. So, this canto continues that thread and dissects the human being's desire into three: bhukti, mukti and bhakti. Sense gratification, liberation and devotional service. So if you see the first two purports, the entire theme is based on that. Now this bhukti or sense gratification is further subdivided in terms of someone who is enjoying in obedience to nature's laws, or one is having complete anarchy in one's life, where they have nothing to do with God consciousness. Now based upon that, one gets the heavenly planets or the hellish planets. Sense gratification with piety, upper heavenly planets. Sense gratification with only morality, no God consciousness, subterranean heavenly planets. Sense gratification without regard to morality and God's rules, hellish planets. So it dissects systematically and tells where people, you know, in each consciousness go to. Now, talking about heavenly planets, again, there is another dissection. Depending upon the level of grossness or subtlety of their consciousness, one goes to the final floor of the heavenly planets, or one is in the first floor of the heavenly planets. So as it gets higher and higher, existence gets subtler and subtler. Also, this chapter reiterates from chapter 17 Bhagavad Gita, which is the divisions of various levels of faith. And it dissects the influence of three modes of material nature in various aspects of our life. So, these verses also talk about what destinations people attain and who do they worship. When you worship so-and-so, you will attain this destination. When you worship so-and-so, you will attain that destination. Prabhupada interestingly writes the purport in the Bhagavad Gita that somebody started worshipping Hitler in India. Why? Because of Hitler's policies, he was able to make a lot of black money in his life. So for him, he says, Hitler is my God, so therefore I will worship him. Prabhupada actually writes that in Bhagavad Gita purports. So sometimes what happens, we worship anyone who we adore, okay, who has probably helped us, you know, meet our sense gratification needs. Or sometimes we worship the kith and kin of whoever we adore. Now this is something which we are reading in the newspapers nowadays in India. Okay, there is one famous Bollywood star. His son is a drug addict. And now he has also been accused of dealing in drugs. Okay, now obviously such a person has to be corrected and put in jail. The last thing you do is to kind of put slogans for his release, and when he comes out, there is almost like a Jagannath Yatra, there is a procession going behind this fellow, right? So this is happening in Kali Yuga. It's unbelievable. And that too, he is not the original film star. He is the son of the film star. Even if it was the original film star, we will understand, right? So this is the extent of madness in today's society. Whereas, even if a warrior goes in India and then fights against the terrorists or whatever and then gives up his life, he is never glorified like this. But a drug addict is glorified like this. This is Kali Yuga. Absolute nonsense. People have become mad. Who to glorify, who not to glorify. There is no sense that is left in this world now. And the media is also hyping up all these things. Therefore, more and more we associate with these media, then what will happen? They have the power to influence our consciousness. So everything is so everything is so nonsense in Kali Yuga, in simple words. Okay, therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 2, when the Canto 2 begins, the second verse itself, after Prabhupada writes in today's purpose, Varyane Sate Prashna Krito Lokahitam Nipa. Congratulations for asking me such a wonderful question, but in the second verse itself, what does Sukadeva Goswami say? He says, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nrinam Shanti Sahasraha Nrinam Shanti Sahasrashaha Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. Correct, no? Did I quote it right? Yeah. So, what he says that those people who are materially engrossed, Shrota Vyadi, Shrota means hearing, Shrota Vyadi ni Rajendra, those people are materially engrossed, they are blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, and therefore they have many other subject matters of hearing in society. The last thing they want to hear about is escaping the cycle of birth and death and going back to Godhead. So, our inclinations are shaped up based on who we come in contact with and what kind of literature we come in contact with, and our value systems and thoughts are also altered, and because our value systems and thoughts are altered by what we associate with, our activities are also get aligned with such thoughts, and therefore what happens? Our karmic reactions continue from that point and on. So these two verses, the first verse and second verse, of course second verse next another speaker will speak tomorrow, but even the first verse is talking, you know, about so many of these aspects. Now, so much for Bhuktis, Bhuktivadis. Now, there are Bhuktivadis, people who want liberation. These Bhuktivadis, they do not have access to the Bhakti Shastras. They do not have, because of their envy for the Lord. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is only for the Nirmat Saranam Satam. Absolutely non-envious characters, personalities. Only they will have access to Srimad Bhagavatam. So what these people do, these Muktivadis, they adopt the process of neti, neti, neti. This is material, reject. This is material, reject. This is material, reject. So because they follow that process, in that momentum, they also reject the personality of the Godhead. They also reject the form of the Lord. They reject, okay. They think that anything which is form has to be contaminated. It can't be transcendental. So transcendental has to be formless. So they have this kind of a conception. But those jokers also, they do panchopasana. They still have those deities. They still do deity worship of the form. But what they do is, they do this panchopasana thinking that I am worshipping so that I will become you. Because you have also merged into the impersonal absolute. And I will also worship your form and I will also merge into the impersonal absolute. So this is their philosophy. Now, if you look at the population also, for example, again, you know, I have told it before also, there is one devotee in our congregation. You know, his family has a supposed spiritual master, you know, who is a Mayavadi. So, and very popular personality. So once this devotee came in contact with that family, you know, guru, right? And then he was traveling somewhere and he told that personality, you know, our Prabhupada calls all of you Mayavadi, like that. And he said, oh, is it? Oh, okay. No. He himself did not know that what is Mayavadi, but he is Mayavadi. He is an impersonalist. So he did not know what this person said. So now, even such impersonalists, if you see today, if you count the number of Mayavadis, they are also very less. Most of them are, they don't have anything to do with regulated sense gratification. Forget about doing anything with impersonal form of Godhead. So even impersonalists are a very rare species. And Prabhupada somewhere writes also in Bhagavatam, impersonalists are also transcendentalists. At least they are looking for something, right? So most of them are not even in the impersonalist category, right? Most of them are not even the regulated karmakandis. Like sometimes, when, you know, we sometimes in ISKCON lingo, we say, yeah, he's a karmi. Actually, once I was hearing one lecture from Gaurang Prabhu. He said, people use this word, he's a karmi, karmi. He says, nobody is a karmi. Karmi means he has to do karmakand. Who is doing karmakand today? Nobody is doing karmakand. Right? So even karmis are a rare breed. People just are either atheistic or agnostic, or simply they don't want to be bothered by all these things. Right? This is the general, most of the population is here. Now, but if you go to a specific place like India, of course, then what happens? Bharatamumi has got that little bit of that piety still there. So even, for example, when India wins, they will still worship some god. They'll go to the temple and say, thank you, my dear god, that our cricket team won. So there is still some piety left, like, or they'll do some puja so that the team wins, right? At least they'll go to god for, or demigods for all these things, right? So nevertheless, in India, still demigod worship is very, 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 very prevalent, right? So most believers in India are demigod worshippers, even today. So, but they don't have access to Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, nothing. So they have no understanding of Sarga, Visarga, who is Supreme Bhagavan, Eta, what is that verse? Bhagavan, Ete Chamsha Kalapumsha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Obviously, I did not know that before I joined ISKCON. Right? So nobody knows all these things. What is the difference between Bhagavan, who is Devata? No one knows all these things. Why? Because they cannot conceive beyond the immediate cause, whoever they believe. They cannot conceive of a cause of all causes. They can't. So for example, what they'll do is, they'll worship some mystic Baba and they'll go and pray there. Okay, please save my son from illness. And what happens? Sometimes, yes, some Baba may have some mystic power to adjust something, okay, and do some miracle. And most of the times, these Babas are dongi Babas. They are all, what do you call them? Bogus Babas. Now, because of, if 10 people go and say, cure my child, because of the karma of 3 children, 3 will be cured, correct or not? And then they'll say, because of Baba, cured. Seven will go away, but three will be business development managers for that Baba, right? They will go and say, Baba. Three will become six, six will become, so, you know, like that. It will then gradually grow and it will become exponential. And suddenly the bogus Baba is sitting there with the beard and talking nonsense. And people will talk, people will glorify such a person. That person has become a very famous personality. So anything happens like that. So therefore, and today is a very auspicious day, because today Lord Krishna exactly came to pinpoint that I am the cause of all causes. Stop this demigod worship. And it is today Govardhana. And coincidentally, Prabhupada's purports are also like this today. So the entire pastime of Govardhan Leela is meant to underline this particular point, that how we should not consider the Lord, Krishna and demigods, to be equal. So, am I allowed to speak on Govardhan thing? Because we started very late, so try and go fast. Okay, just 15-20 minutes, please. Okay, so the pastime of Govardhan is very relevant. We are not going to go into all the details because of paucity of time, but I will try and keep it to the very, very brief essence. Okay. So, the Govardhan pastime essentially underscores this point, that please stop worship of the demigods, and it is enough and more to surrender to Lord Krishna. Now, how did Govardhan descend in the... how did Govardhan descend in Vrajabhumi? That is the first question. We will talk about that very briefly. In the Garga Samhita, it is mentioned that one day Lord Krishna, when he decided, now I am going to come down into the material world to perform my pastimes, he told Radharani, Radharani, be ready, both of us have to go together now to the Bhumi, and therefore we have to do our pastimes. So Radharani said, no, I am not coming. I have one condition. What is the condition? Unless and otherwise Vrindavan, Yamuna and Govardhan manifest down, I am not going to come there. So Lord Krishna said, don't worry, I have already manifested all three of them. So, but Govardhan was not in Vrajabhumi. Govardhan was in the near the Himalayas, as a part of the Himalayas. So Lord Krishna had already manifested the Govardhan hill as the son of Dronachal. So Govardhan manifested there in the Himalayan region. And because Govardhan manifested there, he is the king of all the mountains. All the famous mountains also manifested there, along in Bhumi and many in Himalaya itself. So, and when Govardhan manifested there, all the demigods started worshipping Govardhan in Himalayas with flowers, right? Now, one day Pulaste Muni was passing by, he saw, wow, what a beautiful mountain being worshipped by all the Devi Devatas. Now, he went to Dronachala and he asked Dronachala, what a beautiful mountain you have here, but you have so many mountains here, but I am going to Varanasi where there are no mountains, so can I please take your Giriraj to my Varanasi, because then I don't have any mountains and I want to worship there. So Dronachala said, yes, no problem, take it. Obviously he did not know, he was not very happy with the request, but he said, okay, take it, because you can't disobey the request of such a Brahmana. So he said, go ahead and take it, but on one condition. You have to carry it, but if you keep it down, wherever you put it down, the hill will be in that place. So he takes it, and then nature's call happens when he is passing above Vrajabhumi. So he had to attend the nature's call. So he keeps it down, and that's how Govardhan stayed there. And Govardhan was personally very happy also. He says, yes, this is where, because Govardhan is Lord Krishna himself. So he knew that we have to perform, lot of great pastimes are going to happen in Vrajabhumi. But our Pulaste Muni was not very pleased with Govardhan. He said, what is this? You should have come to Varanasi with me. But now I can't take you anymore. So he cursed Govardhan. What did he say? You will reduce by the length of one mustard seed every single day. And since that time, that is happening. Govardhan has gradually reduced in size like that. But Govardhan nevertheless was very happy even with the curse. He said, thank you very much. I'll remain in Vrajabhumi itself, because now the whole pastime was going to manifest. And also in one class, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj mentioned that Govardhan also thought that, Lord Krishna also thought that if Govardhan was full of very, very high peaks, very high mountains, like the, what is that? Loka mount or something, then big peaks, then the pastime will not be that pleasing. Just imagine snow-capped mountains and all that. Whereas it's all green. Govardhan is very green. Imagine it being snow-capped. Govardhan is being lifted. It won't have that much fun. So therefore, in order to make all this very relishable, so many things were arranged and this pastime happened. Now, the precise pastime of Lord Krishna lifting Govardhan is in Canto 10, Chapter 24 to Chapter 27, immediately after the narration of the Yajnik Brahmanas. Now what happened? One day, Lord Krishna was standing there, young boy, young child, he was standing, small child, and Nanda Maharaj started arranging paraphernalia, all the Vrajavasis gathered together to worship Lord Indra. Now, this Srimad Bhagavatam is basically disapproves of any other Naimittika Dharma, which apparently looks like Nitya Dharma, but is not. But it is only composed of some pious activities, right? So, Lord Krishna also disapproves of religiosity based on superstition, as well as some vain tradition that people follow. Because when we just follow something with superstition or tradition, we really can't put our heart into that kind of a worship. So, therefore, through this pastime, Lord Krishna is going to teach that we must know what a particular worship is for. We must know who is it for. We must know how to perform it. And we will know what will we accomplish having performed it. So all these things are being taught in the Govardhan Leela. So Lord Krishna asks Nanda Baba, is it a ceremony you are doing based on scriptural injunction? He is asking. Son is asking father, is it based on scriptural injunction or is it simply a custom of ordinary society? So, now why is Nanda Maharaj also apparently bewildered into doing all these things? Because Nanda Maharaj also sees Indra as the ultimate cause of the productivity of land. Because they are Vaishyas, they are very grateful for land productivity because that is their business, right? Farming, agricultural, cow protection. This cannot happen. Anna bhavati bhutani parjanyad anna sambhavah. When there is no rainfall, there will be no production of food grains. So, Nanda Maharaj is a devotee, obviously. But all this is a pastime. Okay, so we cannot say Nanda Maharaj was, you know, a karma kandi or whatever. So, we know that. So, but Lord Krishna is teaching through Nanda Maharaj this pastime. That apparently devotees also should not get bewildered and get into karma kandi at any point in time. Getting enamored with the immediate cause, which is Indra, no doubt. Indra offers rain. So immediate cause is he, but no, he's just the immediate cause. There is a higher cause beyond that. So therefore, Nanda Maharaj is seeing Indra as such, and therefore, Lord Krishna is trying to dissuade him from that. So what Lord Krishna adopts, he adopts the methodology of explaining to him karma mimamsa philosophy. Why will Lord do that? So this is for two purposes, it said. That one is he wants to anger Indra, incite Indra first, and then he also wants to wean away Nanda Baba from doing this in a very gradual fashion, right? So he gives karma mimamsa philosophy. He said, why are you worshipping Indra? Because you should understand that Indra is not the ultimate cause. Everyone gets food, grains based on their karma. So you better focus on your duty, Vaishya Dharma. And then he directs him saying, what is Vaishya Dharma? It is agriculture, cow protection, right? And where do you get all the ingredients for that? From Govardhan Hill. So worship Govardhan Hill. So in short, again I'm cutting a very long, you know, very beautiful dialogue, very short because of time. But that is how he brings them to that point. Then we all know that having brought him to that point, then Nanda Baba, finally Krishna, after all this logic, he tells one statement which melts Nanda Baba's heart. He says, like similar to Bhagavad Gita, I have told whatever I have told you. Now you do whatever you want, he tells Arjun, right? You may follow whatever you know. Same thing he tells Nanda Maharaj also. I have told you, I have explained to you everything. Now it is up to you. Okay. But he says something. But you know what? If you worship Govardhan instead of this, then Govardhan will be pleased. Brahmanas will be pleased. And I will also be pleased. But anyway, you can do whatever you want. Now when they all love Krishna, so why will they do something which is displacing this small child, right? So he says, okay. We will do. And then immediately when they say we will do, Lord Krishna manifests the entire Govardhan. And then what happens? The Vrajavasis do the Annakoot ceremony. Very beautifully the Vrajavasis dress themselves, they prepare varieties of items and offer to Govardhan. Govardhan himself is known as Haridasa Varya, the servant of Lord Krishna, but Krishna himself in the role of his own servant, like that. So, now obviously what happens when Indra's puja is stopped, then Indra is very upset. He sends the Samvartaka clouds. There is, you know, he inundates the entire Vrajabhumi. But the interesting point is when this inundation happens, the Vrajavasis also run to Lord Krishna for shelter. Now this is very important. Another lesson from here is what? That whenever we are in any danger, we go to Lord Krishna for shelter. We don't go to protection for to anyone else. So, and then what happened? Lord Krishna, obviously, he is his Bhakta Vatsal. So he lifted the Govardhan with his pinky finger. Prabhupada writes, as easily as a child lifts a mushroom. Prabhupada writes, like that. And for 7 days, he held up the Govardhan Hill. Now, interestingly, Krishna should have been very upset with Indra. But on the other hand, Indra did one thing because of this. Though he was envious, but accidentally he served the Lord. Why? Because of this Govardhan pastime, he united the Lord with all his devotees, dearmost devotees. So all of them were together with the Lord. So devotees are very happy that Lord Krishna is always in our eyesight. And Lord Krishna was also happy that all of them are near me. And then, obviously, the Govardhan pastime is dissected by the acharyas. They go deeper and deeper into this pastime. But again, we don't have time today. But essentially, the Govardhan pastime is very extra special because all the rasas are there again in the Govardhan pastime. There is Vatsalyaras, there is Sakhyaras, there is Madhuryaras, there is Dasyaras, every single rasa is there. Shantaras is also there. All the rasas are there in the Govardhan Leela. That's why it is a very, very famous and one of the topmost pastimes of Lord Krishna. And then Indra then is contrite. He is very repentant. Oh, now he realizes that he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because Indra was also bewildered momentarily that this young boy, how can he prevent? How can he protect? The Lord's Nara-like pastimes are the most bewildering. So Indra is also wondering, he had a doubt that this person, how can he protect? But now he is realizing, my goodness, you know, however small Krishna is, I cannot be bigger than him. So he is very repentant. But when you are going to get a firing from your manager, sometimes you take the manager's favorite subordinate. No. Then you also please come along. Like that, right? Like, so many times, you know, we are said, when you have to get darshan of your Guru Maharaj, keep your child along with you. And then go in, then Maharaj may look at you. Like that. Otherwise he will not. Right? Push the child ahead. And then the child will take the parents also. And that way you will get some association like that. So sometimes knowing the inclination of someone, you have to do some strategy. It's called jugaad. You do some jugaad to get association. So Indra also tells Surabhi, you come with me. You know, I can't face the Lord right now. So he takes Surabhi, because when you take Surabhi, the Lord is, you know, cooled down like that. So he takes Surabhi and he offers various beautiful prayers to the Lord out in his contrition. He offers various prayers to the Lord and he worships the Lord with Ganges water and with the milk of Surabhi, which pleases the Lord. So the Lord is now placated like that. So, but the Lord gives instructions also, you know, through this pastime. What is the another big lesson from today's pastime? That there is no place for pride in Krishna consciousness. And when we are proud, Lord Krishna can take away our opulence and he can bring us down to earth. That is, and then what happens? This is another lesson which Lord Krishna says. Sometimes we get, when we get positions of authority, even within, you know, the realm of Krishna consciousness, when we get some positions, we become very proud and then we start throwing our weight around everyone. So this is the pastime which we need to remember, lest we get any time that tendency. So the Srimad Bhagavatam reminds us, Indra is so pleased with the Lord that from that time the Lord is known as Govinda. Govinda, Govinda. Now, the nectar of instruction, Rupa Goswami also extols the glory of this place. He says, higher than the material world is the spiritual world. Higher than the spiritual world is Vrindavan. Mathura. Higher than Mathura is Vrindavan. Higher than Vrindavan is Govardhan. And at the foothills of Govardhan is Radhakund. So, again, that the importance of Govardhan is given by the acharyas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also was gifted a Govardhan Shila by a Brahmana. And what did Mahaprabhu do? He used to wear the Govardhan Shila in his neck and press it close to his heart and weep, weep, weep. By that, by the tears of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Govardhan Shila used to get Abhishek every day. So that much it was. And then what happened? It was so dear to him that he gave it to one of his most dearest disciples, Raghunath Das Goswami. Who then what he did? He took that, but he settled at the foothills of Govardhan. And then from over there, he said, you know, from Radhakund, he used to then, again, as if reciprocating Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, he started talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Old man sitting there taking notes became Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So, in that sense, Chaitanya Charitamrita is also a mercy of Giri Govardhan ki Jai. So, Giriraj Maharaj is so famous in India also that people do Govardhan Parikrama during this time. Anyway, it's Kartik month. And we have seen people doing Govardhan Parikrama. Srila Prabhupada was so attached to Govardhan Parikrama that there was 3 days left for Prabhupada's departure from this world. And Prabhupada insisted, I want to go on Govardhan Parikrama. And the doctor, physician, everyone said, he told, you can't take this old man, he will die. If you just take it, Prabhupada said, no, we'll go in bullock cart. No, I will not walk. Okay. The physician said, no. Even bullock cart, he can't take it. If you go out, in 5 minutes, he will die. He will leave this world. 5 minutes, he said, right? So you can't take him. But Prabhupada said, no, death is going to come anyway, whether I go or not. So better I go for Govardhan Parikrama. That's what Prabhupada was instructing his disciples. Finally, they brought Prabhupada's godbrother. Who can cool him down? Who is that? Akinchana Krishna Das Baba. So they got him there, right? So Babaji also told him, Prabhupada, don't. But he didn't listen to Babaji also. He said, no, I want to go. Finally, then Prabhupada saw that all his disciples were they didn't know how to tell Prabhupada this. But then Prabhupada realized that, my devotees are concerned about me. And then Prabhupada said that I must be above and beyond my own desires. I must be above and beyond my own desires. I must respond to the love of my disciples. And therefore Prabhupada said, okay. So, but this is how Prabhupada was also so eager to do the Govardhan Parikrama. So much for the, I'll very briefly, 2-3 minutes quickly talk about, little bit about Rasikananda Acharya. Okay, because today is his appearance day. So Rasikananda Acharya is one of the intimate associates in the Chaitanya Leela. In 1590 AD, he was born during Diwali time, when all lamps were, when the whole society was decorated with all these lamps, and he made his appearance. He had another name called as Murari. His father was Sri Achyuta Dev, who was the king of Rohini. So he was the son of a king. So at a very young age, Rasikananda Acharya became very proficient in all the scriptures, and he was very devoted to his parents. And the famous pastime of Rasikananda Acharya, one or two pastimes only we will talk. The first one was how he met his guru. So one day it is mentioned that Rasikananda, as Murari, he was sitting in a lonely place wondering, when will I get my shelter? When will I get the shelter of a bona fide Acharya? And then what happened? Immediately as he thought that, an Akashvani came. A message came from the sky saying that, don't be in anxiety. You will become the disciple of a great personality, Sri Shyamananda Pandit. Right? And then, jubilantly, throughout the night, he used to murmur, Shyamananda, Shyamananda, Shyamananda. He could not sleep throughout night. And just in the wee hours of morning, as he dozed off, he got a dream. And in that dream, he saw the effulgent form of Shyamananda approach. And tell him that when the sun, just about the sun is about to rise, very soon you will see me in person. So he woke up from his dream, and his moment to moment, it said, his eagerness increased. And then gradually, as the sun was rising, Shyamananda Pandit, in a very effulgent form, approached him. He was so ecstatic, he paid dandavat pranams to Shyamananda Pandit and surrendered to him. Shyamananda Pandit was continuously chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda, and he was accompanied by so many of his disciples. So this beautiful form of Shyamananda Pandit along with his disciples was witnessed by Murari or Rasikananda Acharya. He fell down in front of him. He was embraced by his spiritual master, and ever then, since that point, he dedicated his life to serve his Guru Maharaj. So Shyamananda Pandit initiated him as Rasikananda, and his wife also was initiated with the Radha Krishna mantra. After that, Rasikananda Prabhu started traveling with his Guru Maharaj, and soon he became very intimate in his services to his spiritual master. And Shyamananda Pandit bestowed upon him the service of Sri Radha Govind Dev, deities, at a place called Gopi Ballapur. So, and not only did he do this deity worship, he also started preaching the message of Gaur Nityananda far and wide. And it is said, by his influence, many atheists, non-believers and rogues were transformed and brought into Krishna consciousness. So much so that an envious personality sent an elephant to him to trample him. He delivered the elephant also. And the elephant also became his devotee. Like that. So this was the power of Rasikananda Prabhu. Now, another significant pastime is that Rasikananda Prabhu was so immersed in service of his guru that he forgot about Jagannath Rath Yatra. And what happened? There in Jagannath Puri, the Rath cart had stopped. And Rasikananda Pandit here, worshipping his spiritual master, suddenly realized, I have to go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. So the Jagannath cart stood there only. Only when Rasikananda came with all his, you know, he brought so many gifts for the Lord and he worshipped the Lord, the king saw that and then the Rath cart started to move. So this is another pastime of Rasikananda Acharya. So it is said that the king was so pleased with Rasikananda Acharya that he requested him to accept a land as a gift in Puri. Okay, and it is said that in that land today there is what is known as the Kunjamat, where the deity called as Sri Sri Radha Rasika Rai has been installed. Now, he had three sons, Rasikananda Acharya, in his lineage. So, these three sons are the present servants of Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev. They are worshipping that original deity. In terms of his literature, he wrote many literatures and poems. And key amongst them are Sri Shyamananda Sataka, Sri Bhagavad Ashtaka, as well as so many other hymns and songs. So it is said there is also a temple of Rasikananda at Puri. So in 1652 AD, Srila Rasikananda Acharya quickly slipped out of his village. Now his disappearance is happening. He quickly slipped out of his village and walked towards Remuna. Now, He met some devotees, he did Krishna Katha with all the devotees there and instructed all his devotees and his disciples to never leave worship of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, no matter what happens in their lives. Then, after requesting them to begin Sankirtan, he entered the temple of Sri Gopinath in Remuna Dham, and after touching Shir Chor Gopinath's lotus feet, he entered the deity. And that's how he left. Such a glorious departure. So his samadhi is at the temple of Shir Chor Gopinath at Remuna. That was an express description. One more super express, super fast. Plain speed now we will go. Right. Speed of mind we will talk. This is Srila Vasudev Ghosh. So the Vasudev Ghosh is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela 5.259. It mentions of three brothers, Sri Vasudeva Ghosh, Sri Madhav Ghosh and Sri Govinda Ghosh, who were very expert singers. Sri Nityanand Prabhu himself, it is said, will dance when these people used to sing. Initially, they were living in a place called Kumarahatta and later they came and started living in Navadvip. So they were very intimate associates of Nitai Gaurang. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that all these three brothers are immediate expansions of the body of Srimati Radharani, Vasudev Ghosh, and his Madhav Ghosh and Govinda Ghosh. All three of them, because they were expert singers also, and they were expert composers of sweet songs, so they composed lot of songs describing the leelas of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well as Radha and Krishna, particularly the childhood pastimes of Nitai Gaura Hari. His Sankirtan pastimes also, as well as the pastimes of Sannyasa pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. All these were composed in songs by them. And also, in their songs, they extolled the beauty of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So much of songs they have left for us. Vasudev Ghosh specifically was sent with Lord Nityananda to preach in Bengal. However, every year he came to Puri to Sri Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and perform Kirtan during the Ratha Yatra. Now, in a place called Tamluk, Vasudev Ghosh worshipped a very beautiful deity of Lord Chaitanya, who was standing in a very interesting, unique mudra, unique pose. Such a deity is not there of Lord Chaitanya anywhere. And it is unlike any other deity that we will find of Lord Chaitanya. Now, what is unique about this deity? We will end with that. Now, there is a story where when Vasudev Ghosh received the news of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure from this world, he promptly proceeded to dig his own samadhi. He also wanted to leave his body. So he was digging his own samadhi. Usually disciples dig the samadhi, but he was digging his own samadhi, right? And then he went down to sat inside his own samadhi, right? And he was waiting for his final breath, right? Then Mahaprabhu appeared there, and with one hand he offered a benediction. With one hand he offered a blessing to him, and with another hand he indicated that Vasudeva, you should get out now of this place. Right? Don't accept, don't do samadhi like this. So it is in this pose that the deity is. In the Gaurav Ganodesha Deepika says that Sri Vasudeva Ghosh is none other than Gunatungi Sakhi in Krishna Lila. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna Prasadam ki jai. Thank you.